Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fill My Eyes with Poetry. I almost forgot who I was. It's been a while since I've been here, so, you know, it's a little tough. I wanted to say hello to everybody. I'm glad to be back. It's great to, you know, have the show open tonight. And just a little tidbit of information. I'm going to drop something on the board. Late Night Poets, our early radio shows, are number 11 out of the top 80. Look out Seth Meyers. He's number one. And secondly, our After Midnight LNP radio is at number 16 on the top 60 podcasts. So I just want everybody to know, because I'm kind of proud of our team. I'm proud of all of our hosts and hostesses. I'm proud of the work they do, the job they do, you know, all that they put out there. So I want to say thanks to everybody, and yoo-hoo, high five to all of you. I appreciate it very much. So. That's my big thing for tonight. Okay, I can go home now, right? No, I'm only kidding. Good to have you here. Hi, Rex. Hi, Pam.
Hello.
How's that? Got both of them on the shows now. Woohoo!
Hello.
It's good to hear you too. God, it's good to hear anybody. You know, it's been a long week without hearing any voice.
Oh my goodness.
Oh.
Yeah.
But
that is so exciting. Those numbers, number 11 and number 16. Like you said, watch out Seth Meyers. We're on our way.
It's so funny because every time one of us says it, I say, yeah, like, right, sure, we'll get up there. But I'm like, well, you know, you just never know, and you never stop dreaming. You know, crazy stuff happens
exactly.
in this world. But I am glad to see that the after midnights are listed as well. You know, and that made me feel good because pretty well deserving, you know. And I think it's a good thing. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I just bebop in there maybe once a week or so and just check to see where we sit. And I think that's pretty darn decent. So, Rex, you're awful quiet over there. Come on, you gotta get loud over top of us women if you want to say anything or be heard. You know the deal. Oh, my God. Yeah, so, so how's about you tonight?
Oh, I'm fine.
Well, this is good. Very good. Very good. Yep. So I don't know. Got to get up there. We got a few more places to go on the. That'd be nice. We'll have to see what happens. Oh, and I found out something really cool. I'm going to say this, but I doubt anybody's going to retain it. If you click on that and you find our show on the listing under the number, if you click on our title, like our name, it'll take you to a page, and all it does is list all of our radio shows. All of them. I think it's awesome. Anyway, I'm going to shut up about that now. I'll just go on and on and on. I'm just being silly today going, yeah, this is cool. But, yeah, I tormented Sam with that phone call. So, anyway, it looks like we have a really good board tonight. And we do have a caller. So give me 1 second, and let's see who's here. Hello, area code 585. Who's calling, please?
Well, good evening, Jean. Good evening, everybody. It's a real pleasure to, Rex. It's a real pleasure to see that the radio shows are finally starting to gain a little bit of notoriety. It's been a long time coming, Jean.
Well, you know, they've been on the one list for, oh, I don't know, what, 4 months, 5 months ago we found it, Rex?
Yeah.
Maybe back then. Yeah. So I just happened to wander over today and check, and the late nights had actually hit another one of the lists. So I was like, oh, this is awesome. So, yeah, it feels good. And I think that, we have the only ones we can thank for that is each of the individual hosts and hostesses, you know, and all the time and hard work that they put into it. And all of the poets who share their work with us every day. Because, you know, without them, the show wouldn't have any kind of, but there's nothing to talk about, you know. So I think that it's wonderful. Every poet that shares with us, you know, it's nice to know that their work's being heard. And, it's great. So it makes me smile. One of them sins. Yes. So I don't know. Let's see now. That I got myself all out of sorts because I talked about that now. So I don't know, but we have plenty of poetry to get going, I guess. So I guess we should get it started unless somebody else has something they want to add to the conversation. I mean, and I don't have a problem with that. So speak up.
No, we got plenty on the board to get to.
I think so. I have to agree with that. Okay, well, that's what we're going to do then. We'll start with this. And, Rex, I'm going to have you kick us off. And I have one by Cedar Chapman.
All righty. Katana by Cedar Chapman. Katana is cruel, my son. Katana is cruel, my son, forged by demons from the east, a locust king, a savage iron beast, lusting temples, scrolls, and fear. It devours farms, villages, our tears. Do not be afraid, my son. I kneel not to Katana's steel. My hands are bound, but I am free. My eyes blinded, yet still I see the chartreuse bamboo grove, sickened by Katana's yellow trove. Do not weep, my son. Let our blood flow river high. Let Katana flood our pastures red. Let rose pile tall with our dead. Relics rotting in ravines will howl our song. The one west wind will yowl along, and all who can bear shall listen. Rise, my son, rise. We shall fend with scythes and hoes. We shall charge with sickles and wooden poles. We shall paint poppy mist on puce-lit skies. We shall fall and fall till their spirit dies. Mother and child, sick and old, so as Katana breeds, we shall hold. Forgive me, my son, for the darkest hour has come. Katana greets me with three bowls of tea. Look towards the muddy rice field, beyond the five lily pads floating, coy nipping by grandmother's plum tree. There is where I'll be waiting. Close your eyes, beloved brave boy. Glory be, we shall bleed for liberty. And poem. Damn. The rat wants to kick us off.
It was a nice read, Rex. This is a nice poem. It talks about, well, it doesn't talk specifically, but the katana is a sword, so I'm a little puzzled that it's kind of personified the culture over there really paid attention to tradition, and the katana was a hell of a weapon used with a great deal of ceremony. But in this poem, it's cruel, and she does not kneel to katana's steel. And despite the fact that her hands are bound, she is free. My eyes blinded, yet still I see the chartreuse bamboo grove, sickened by katana's yellow trove. This is a very evocative piece. I like the repetition of we shall fend, we shall charge, we shall paint, we shall fall and fall till their spirit dies, mother and child, sick and old. So as katana breathes, we shall hold. Epic little poem. A lot of bravery here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Laurent. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a powerful poem, and it's one that's so beautifully written. It stands well on its own. And yet I have to say that I was really thankful that I read it earlier and saw the AN, because it gives you a lot of insight into the poem, and it makes you realize how truly important it is, because he wrote this as a dedication to his grandmother, who lived through World War II, which during that time when Japan attacked China and everybody was fleeing, as he says, from the atrocities of Nanjing, soldiers beheading Chinese citizens with samurai swords or katanas was very common. And so, you know, and obviously for many in the Japanese culture and for many people, the katana is a symbolism of, you know, warrior and strength. But in this case, the personal experience of his grandmother and many others would have been the weapon of the enemy. And I thought that, you know, this was a beautiful and heartfelt tribute to his grandmother and to the idea that experience and strength can be passed along from generation to generation so that people don't forget. And I really see this as broken into at least two parts, maybe more. The first part is the cruelty of what his grandmother's generation lived through. And then the end part is the idea that the spirituality, the passing along of strength, courage, traditions, and appreciation for liberty. I really like the end line, glory be, we shall bleed for liberty, because to me, you can totally take nationality out of that, and it can just apply to any country whose people have soldiers and at common everyday folks have died and bled in the name of liberty, for liberty. So excellent writing, very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a wonderful piece reflecting memories of his grandmother. You know, there's deep thoughts and emotions that go with that. And I think the emotions were well expressed in the piece. So I have to say, you know, it was a pleasure to have led this tonight. And I think it was a nod to the strength that his grandmother had, and a wonderful job, Cedar. And I want to thank you, as always, for putting something in on Friday night. You never disappoint, I can say that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane. And everybody. Yeah, those last three stanzas kind of hit the right note, so to speak. The third and second from the bottom hit on those the painful angle. Walks a little different tone. Forgive me, my son, for the dark hour has come. Katana greets me with three bowls of tea. Inference, of course, of death in that moment. The three bowls of tea offering up, the first one bitter, the second one sweet, and the third one is about reunion and peace. And that's what he's offering at the bottom. And there is where I'll be waiting. Close your eyes, beloved brave boy. Glory be. We shall bleed for liberty. A note to the bravery of those willing to stand up with pitchforks and hoes to that which is definitely not something to be messed with. Thank you, Cedar. All right, Jean, we're coming up to you.
Okay. Well, the next one I have is for Miss Pam. Just because I feel that way. So, Pam, here we go. This one's by Kiku.
So all right. Loss of Poetic Words by Kiku, and it goes like this. Airplanes hum in the mist of March. A couple embraces like their final days. Whether it was a reunion or goodbye, I did not know. I just knew in that stillness the loss of poetic words. No flowers pressed upon words, nor singing of birds. Nothing. I was simply touched. End poem.
Gregory Pam, thank you very much. And Jean, you get first dibs.
I think this is just a wonderful brevity. I had no idea it was a brevity when I gave it to Pam. Otherwise, I'd have kept it for me. Just saying. I thought it was just beautifully done, though, and I think she really hit all kinds of wonderful notes in it. There's a lot of detail, and things were just so beautifully described. The imagery was good. So I want to thank you, Kiku, for sharing with us tonight. Just wonderful. And let me see the prompt. Oh, nice. That was a great take on the prompt as well. Nice job.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. Laurent, how about you?
Well, there are times when words are not wanted or needed. The moment is so pure that it impresses itself on you silently. You become mute, and you become simply touched. And, you know, you are in the moment at that point, and there is no wanting to find words, because the words just aren't necessary. And I think this reflects that very, very well. Great piece.
Thank you very much. Pam, you got to read it.
Yes. Yeah. It's a beautiful poem, a wonderful brevity. It's like a snapshot of a moment. And I like how it told from the perspective of somebody just simply watching this couple embrace at the airport. And they don't know whether it's a reunion or a goodbye, and that doesn't really matter. What matters is that it's a moment that was so touching that, as Lawrence mentioned, you know, there's sometimes you just cannot find the right words to describe. And you just depend on, you know, the idea that in that moment, what you feel is an overwhelming amount of emotion. So beautifully written and very well done.
Well said, everybody. Thank you very much. You know, it's kind of Airplanes Home in the Mist of March open up, and then no flowers pressed upon wards, no singing of birds, nothing. Well, it was reminds me of the last scene in Casablanca as he's watching her get on the plane in that final moment. It hits the right, very same note, which is cool. Nicely done, Kiku. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, all right, and the next piece for you is called Captain Hook's Blues by Jack Thompson.
Captain Hook's Blues. My various nefarious deeds. Did I say that I'm Aquarius? My various nefarious deeds. Just to pan fry and eat Tinkerbell, munch a tasty treat, sweet and swell that bell. Fairy, or maybe sell her to slavery, the knavery. My various nefarious deeds. Or slice her in two with mushrooms and tofu. My various nefarious deeds. Then dig into pan like a can of Kroger Spam or baked Christmas ham. My various nefarious deeds. End poem.
Great read, LaRocque. Thank you. All right, Pam.
Oh, you know, this one has me smiling. I love that dark humor, especially when it's applied to fairy tales. And, you know, Peter Pan is actually a particularly dark fairy tale. And I love his play on words. I love that he keeps bringing in repetitively the various nefarious deeds, you know, of Captain Hook. The play on words when he says, just to pan fry and eat Tinkerbell, munch a tasty treat, sweet and swell that bell. Oh my goodness, can you imagine Peter Pan and Tinkerbell with fried spam? Wow, that's quite the image. Oh man, I tell you, no, I do. I really enjoy dark humor, and I really enjoy dark fairy tales. So this was just a great pleasure to listen to and read. Very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you. All right, Jean, what you got?
You know, I said this was a clever piece. I thought it was a clever piece, and I told him, watch it, Jack. I remember both of them themselves because you're talking about Mary Martin and Sandy Duncan. I was like, wait a minute now, wait a minute. Don't be saying he's old. I can get upset there. But, you know, I thought it was just nicely planned, and I thought it was, you know, an intriguing dark take on the whole idea. The whole concept was intriguing to me. You know, what did Tinkerbell ever do to him? That's what I want to know. But nice work, Jack, and thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you, Jean. All right, Laurent, you got to read it. What about you?
Well, this is a sharp little parody of a timeless classic, and I, too, like those lines. My various nefarious deeds. And a repetitive stanza like that signals a song, maybe. Nefarious is such a great word. Well done, Jack.
Absolutely. It's a twisted little double entendre with that fry and eat Tinkerbell, much taste, treat, sweet, and swell that bell. A little twisted play on that one. Slice her in two with mushrooms and tofu. Yeah. But I did get a kick out of the Kroger spam. Drop it in the Kroger. Got to be Kroger spam or baked Christmas ham. Well done, Jack. This was delightful and humorous as well. Thank you very much.
All right,
Jean. Wherever it fits you.
Okay. Let me put this next one up, and it's called They Call Her Blind by Dark and R. And I'm going to read this one. I think this is the one I should give into Pam. No, I'm only kidding. Only kidding. Just being a wise guy. My job. Okay. They say she is blind with glossy glass eyes filled with fog, yet she sees things mortal men cannot. A power, a calling, a whisper. She sees through the veil of the afterlife where souls and spirits dwell, feeling their pain, seeing their torture, hearing their harrowing cries. In her hooded black cloak within a misty forest, she contacts those who are lost, helping them cross over, guiding them towards the light. And as her fingers circle her crystal ball, she cracks a smile, watching as new vessels rush to love them they've lost long ago. She's a seer. People can call her blind, but she feels honored to see the life that comes after death. And poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what do you think?
This is absolutely beautiful. It's a great take on the chosen picture prompt. You know, as Jean was reading this, which you did a really great read of, I was thinking, I don't really see a whole lot of pre-verse poems by Dark Andoras. And then I looked over, and I noticed she has a list of freestyle poems that she's written, and there's 427 on the list. So obviously I haven't been paying much attention, but I love a good story poem, and this is a good story poem. Wonderful imagery. I like how it applies to real life and the idea that, you know, we need to be open-minded. We need to, you know, not judge a book by its cover, but, you know, understand what is beyond our sight. I really like the where she says, helping them cross over guiding them towards the light, and as her fingers circle her crystal ball, she cracks a smile, watching as new vessels rush to loved ones they'd lost long ago. So you can see it in those lines and the end line, the pride and the, you know, the desire that this character has to help people with her gift. And so beautifully written and very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Pam. And Ron, how about you?
It's pretty fascinating, the idea that somebody with eyes that are blind can see far deeper, far stronger, far further than a naturally sighted person, because she's, as the poet says, sees through the veil of the afterlife where souls and spirits dwell. And the help to the spirits to find their way. There's a person who, there's a special name for that in the paranormal world, and I can't think of it to save my life, but it's somebody who guides lost souls. It's actually a thing. So when she says she contacts those who are lost, helping them cross over, guiding them toward the light, it's a pretty phenomenal piece. It offers a lot of hope, but most especially those last lines, it rings so true. People can call her blind, but she feels honored to see that life, the life that comes after death. And that's very perceptive and very well worded, I might add. I like this piece a great deal.
Thank you, Laurent. And Jean, how about you? You got to read it.
You know, I thought this was nicely penned. I thought it was a great take on the prompt, which was the image. And I think that there was a lot of detail to that. I think the imagery in it, the piece was good. And I just thought she did a wonderful job. It was very well set throughout. And I very much enjoyed it. So thank you so much, Lord and Lord. Great piece.
Thank you, Jean. I think the word you were looking for, Laurent, was psychopomp. They're the ones that lead.
I'm sorry, say again, please.
Psychopomp.
Ah. Thank you, my friend.
No problem.
Walking dictionary, you.
I got it. That first stanza was perfect. They say she is blind with glossy glass eyes filled with fog. That is definitely an apt description, not only of one who is fully blind, but also it embodies that picture itself. That's what is expressed with that picture. I enjoyed this, the finish on this. People can call her blind, but she feels honored to see the light that comes after death. A nice play on that voice, the thought of what happens after death, life comes after death. However you want to look at it, there's a nice note that within that ending, that's the beginning. So she's done a full circle with her thought. And it does take a nice bite out of those prattling charlatans who do this for money as opposed to honoring something that's within. Nicely done, Darkin. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, let me put this one up by DJGS117, and it's called Astronomy for the Heart 101. And I have an audio for that. So here we go.
Astronomy for the Heart 101 by Doug Smith. There exists someone that can change the world, you know, one which makes hellfire become sleeting snow. A supernova this instant, then an infinite black hole, stretches space, time, the very fabric of thy soul. Bends but never breaks, carries the weight and whole, sends us through the cosmos, tumbling out of control. That moment when accepting fate sounds so simple. When they're not with you, all we think is, how soon? Till thus returns to our world and once more be a moon. For without whom, it's chaotic. Life turns post-apocalyptic. An epoch of nightmares, nothing can stop it. A shining rare comet, try as you might, no stopping. A once an era promise, don't blink, or you've lost it.
Great read there, DJ. Thank you to the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Laurent, why don't we start with you?
What's the language in this? There exists someone that can change the world, you know, one which makes hellfire become sleeting snow. And I like the way he uses the supernova as one instant, and then an infinite black hole which stretches space-time, the very fabric of thy soul. Till thus returns our world and once more be a moon. Has the moon disappeared? Or is it simply the daytime? It seems to be a real appreciation of the moon and what life would be without it. I like the way it was written.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Jean, how about you?
Well, besides thinking I'm a little crazy, which, well, we all kind of know anyway, I know there was a picture on this poem earlier when I read it. So I'm like, okay, where did it go? I thought it was a great piece. I thought it was well-penned and great imagery and great expression of thought throughout. And then that's when I went and I'm saying, I know there was an image and there's no image. I'm a little confused. Can somebody else help me with that? Did anyone else see an image on this piece earlier? Can't have that yet. Huh?
Well, it depends on what you mean by earlier, because I read this earlier, like just an hour before the show started. And there was no image.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Just marked me off as crazy.
I'm checking the box right now.
I looked and I went, okay, you know. And I remembered that contest that I had run so long ago, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So much for that. Anyway, great job. Wonderful work. And thanks for sharing, DJ Gia. Nicely done.
Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, what about you?
Yeah, I like this. I think it's a wonderful use of, I don't know if you call it extended metaphor, but metaphors that definitely connect well with each other and create a consistency in this poem. I like how there's this, to me, a duality in it. Now, in my thoughts, I felt like this kind of focused on the idea of finding a love, finding someone who becomes the center of your universe. But I also like how there's this kind of idea of believing in a higher power. There exists someone that can change the world, you know. There's this idea of belief in a higher power. And there's also this idea that maybe changing the world, you know, isn't something that has to be done in grand and big gestures, but rather helping individuals. I really like particularly the a supernova this instant, an infinite black hole stretches space, time, the very fabric of thy soul, bends but never breaks, carries the weight in whole. It really, you know, describes a person, a fluctuating you know, emotions, and yet of great strength. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I took that took this as a note to that higher power angle, that belief in spirituality. But it also walks within another piece, and that is belief in oneself as being that one that is the moon to your sun, the strength you hold within to stay the course, stand firm, so to speak. That kind of also hits on the spirituality angle of this too. So, thank you, DJ. We're on, Jane.
I wasn't as crazy as I thought I was. Just saying, the image I was talking about was on the SoundCloud. Thank God.
Okay. Well,
I'll erase
the check mark.
Thank God, somebody's got to erase some check marks. They're gathering up real quick. Okay. Any more for Rex? Let me see. Okay, Rex, I'm going to grab this one.
Oh.
And this is by one of our newer members, Micah Britton, of Dancing Green. Whenever you're ready.
All righty. There we go. Dancing Dream by Mike Britland. As I sit here thinking, I put my headphones in and close my eyes to the sounds of the music. Another world opened up with a big dance stage, spotlight in the center, seeing you stand there. You got your red dress on tonight, dancing in the dark, in the pale moonlight. Done your hair up real big, beauty queen style. You took a look at me, putting your hand out, asking me to come dance. I didn't hesitate and came over. There's an energy around when you hold me, when you touch me. It's so powerful, I felt the night explode when we're together. Our stars aligned, our worlds collided. We are dancing in the moonlight. And poem. All right, Jean, you got first.
Well, as like you said, it was nice. No, I was supposed to them on him. It's really neat, like, you know, I like the imagery in this piece. You know, I liked how he puts in the headphones and the music playing, and the next thing you know, he sees the city, the spotlight, and her. You know, I love just the imagery throughout, how he leads us through this this whole scene in his mind. And I think that he did a wonderful job with that. So I want to say great job there, and thanks for sharing, Mike. Really appreciated it. And hopefully we'll see more of your work in the future. Great job. I have to say, we are dancing in the moonlight. It took me to a song, and I don't remember the title of the song, but that was literally one of. What is it, Hen?
It's called Dancing in the Moonlight.
That I was going to say, I think it was Dancing in the Moonlight, but I'm not positive. Yes.
No,
exactly,
it's right. It's done by King Hart.
Great job. There we go. So excellent piece, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Jean. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a nice, tender and romantic write. It had a beautiful flow to it. It made me think of that song Lady in Red, you know, with the mention of putting on the red dress and dancing. And, you know, I like how he mentioned done your hair up real big, beauty queen style. It takes, like, you back to, like, the beehive of, was it the 1950s or 60s, something like that. I really like, there's an energy all around when you hold me, when you touch me. It's so powerful. I felt the night explode when we're together. you know, wonderful lines there, beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Laurent, how about you?
I like the clarity of it. He has a simple story to tell, charming little love story, and he tells it and doesn't pull any punches and doesn't try to embellish it too much. There's an energy around when you hold me, when you touch me. And that energy is something that we've all felt. So the poem is relatable. I think all love poems are relatable, especially when the stars align and worlds collide. We are dancing in the moonlight. It's a very nice finish.
Excellent. Thank you. I think that first stanza was a nice lead-in. It gives you the whole thing, especially since it was named Dancing Dream. The idea of putting your headphones in, turning the music on, and letting your mind float into what comes out. Pam hit on that note with the red dress, but also there was Dancing in the Dark, a little Bruce Springsteen, and again, Dancing in the Moonlight, that song from King Harvest. So a nice little tale there, Mike. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, the next piece I have is for Pam to read, and this is called Split Fun by A.R. Mundell. Whenever you're ready, Pam.
All right. Spoiled Fun by A.R. Mundell. I try to take her toys in, but she wants them to stay, raising them above my head and playing keep away. Near vertical alignment, the clothing flutters stout, grumbling at my given task, and breath close to a shout. Wrestled from her reaches, the garments all go limp, puppet strings cropped closely from reach of blustery imp. And once her game is over, she sulks in near despair until new load of washing is twirling in the air. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Laurent, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I like this a lot. The near vertical alignment, the clothing flutters stout, rumbling at my given task, and breath close to a shout. I can see the little girl waiting for her clothes. She sulks in new despair. It's well done, and it's a nice image. Made me smile.
Thank you, Laurent. Jean, how about you?
No, I'm slow. I'm sorry. I have to catch up. I'm sorry. Give me the next one. Go around. Make Pam go first.
Sure. No problem. All right, Pam.
Well, this is absolutely beautiful. Wonderful rhyme and flow. Great imagery. I love the personification, and it's very relatable to anybody who's tried to hang clothes out on a clothesline, especially, you know, on a particularly windy day. I like how she gives the wind a childlike persona and uses the word imp, you know, and this is clever all the way through, but I say wrestles from her reaches, the garments all go limp. Closely from reach of blustery imp was absolutely my favorite part. So excellent write and very well done.
I'll walk in those lines too, because hey, there's nothing quite like having some wind blowing through your laundry hanging out, give it a little extra flavor to go with the sunlight. A nice little touch of something off the wind to give it a little bit more earthly tone before you put it on the bed, and then actually, damn, this smells good. Time to sleep. All right, Jean, it's your turn.
Well, thank God you went after Pam, because I wasn't quite ready then either. I thought this was just a lovely write. I much enjoyed the imagery here in the piece, and I loved how she gave childlike attributes to the wind, just the whole situation. Because at first I thought she was speaking of a child, and then I'm going, okay, wait, let me catch one here. So I'm a little slow, you know, but it's okay. That's what makes me me. I did. I loved it, and I enjoyed the personification and all of it. It was just really, really well done. It was a great piece, and I very much enjoyed it. So thank you, A.R. Mundell, for sharing with us.
Excellent. So back to you now.
I knew that was coming, and I think I'm going to go, okay, I guess I have to, okay, let's see what I have. That's something? No, that's not it. You know, I just feel sidetracked in my brain. Okay. The what is next? Let me find a piece that we can have him read. Okay, got it. Okay, Laurent, next piece up is by Dan Buscino. So whenever you're ready. Laurent, are you on mute?
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, I apologize for that. Green by Daniel Buscino. There are days when the city seems wrong, unnatural, an abomination of grotesquely warped resources, and I, just an alien visitor hiding among it. And from them, the lost ones, the orphans who have forgotten. It is those times that I walk with no intent and no wanting to stop. I don't know if it's real or a dream or a vision of clarity. It's hard to tell that at all anymore. But without contemplation, I come to the edge of the city, to a mountainous cliff. Sharp, jagged rocks and a snow-covered peak high above. The rocks are covered in blood and tears, and they flow upward from the city's streets. The rocks cut my skin, and the wind tears my eyes, but they flow downward, and as I climb, the snowy peaks are not snow at all, but the torn-up pages of endless books long forgotten. And I reach the top and stare at a world of myriad greens, some shades that seem unwitnessed. So down the other side I run without stopping. No need for sleep, no need for food, as the breath of trees is a powerful friend. Through jungles, deserts, tundra, and plains, I fly over the land as a sunbeam through the day, until I come to a lone field where a clouded sky calms my fire and begs me to stop. And I stand in grass so elegant as to self-illuminate, and so soft to rival any jasmine field. Fence nearby of such ancient artistry to rival any museum hall. Surrounded, now complete, fog as dense as the ocean depths, yet softer than springtime morning air. And one lone tree, muted colors and fractal branches, as a guardian, a gatekeeper to what's beyond. What is beyond the fog? I really can't remember. I don't think it matters, though. The field right now is all there is. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you. All right, Cam, you got first dib.
Is she back, correct?
Oh, I didn't know she was gone. All right. How about you?
She's right back in the room. What a wonderful piece by Dan, and a great read, Laurent. Dan gets into these rites, and he just adds so much detail, and he just builds this beautiful imagery in his work. And I think that, again, he's done that. There's so many different directions he takes you, and he's just always going in a direction, and he wants you to follow. And, you know, you get that from him, that wanting you to follow him on the journey. You know, down here towards the end, and one lone tree, muted colors and fractal branches, as a guardian, a gatekeeper to what's beyond. What is beyond the fog? I really can't remember. I don't think it matters, though. The field right now is all there is. And, you know, I think that that was a terrific way to end it. You know, he doesn't give you a final space. You know, he leaves that for your imagination. He just leaves you standing in this beautiful field that he's spoken of. And, you know, it's yours to think what you want, whether you want to remain there or if you want to think past there. And I think that that's a great way to do it. And excellent work. And thank you, Dan, so much. Great job.
Thank you, Gene. All right, Ron, how about you?
This is a poem that is, to me, dreamlike. The beginning doesn't signal anything out of the ordinary. Everyone wants to get out of the city at one point or another because it does seem wrong and unnatural, especially if you're a country boy. So he feels alienated from them, the lost ones, the orphans who are forgotten, perhaps the orphans who have forgotten what the country is like. And his walking with no intent and no wanting to stop is the point at which it does become dreamlike. We have the fantasy of the edge of the city, the mountains, cliff, the blood-covered rocks cutting his skin. And he climbs and comes to the snowy peaks and their books, and I'm sure the pages being torn are going to look from a distance, much like snow. And when he reaches the top and looks out, it's all the green shades of the earth, some so unique that they seem to be unwitnessed. And down the other side he goes until he comes to that field where a clouded sky calms my fire and begs me to stop. And to me it's even more dreamlike. But his language, the fence nearby, of such ancient artistry to rival any museum hall. I almost wondered, is he in Asia where fences are carved? Because I haven't seen too many carved fences in this color. The one lone tree with its muted colors and fractal branches as some kind of a guardian or gatekeeper is fascinating. And the question, what is beyond the fog, is answered by, I really can't remember. I don't think it matters, because right now the field is all there is. The place where he is calm, is that maybe he's reached his center. The place where he is one and at peace. Either way, it's a beautifully written piece. Takes us on a real journey.
Absolutely. Thank you, Laurel. Pam, how about you?
Well, this is absolutely beautiful. I love the imagery. You know, wonderful use of the whole idea, wonderful idea here. And the way he starts out it, how not only grotesque it can feel to be in an overcrowded, but there's this idea of you know, the claustrophobia that happens, the idea of feeling empty inside almost. And I really like this all the way through, but especially that stanza that starts with, but without contemplation, I come to the edge of the city, to a mountainous cliff, sharp jagged rocks and snow-covered peak high above. I just love how this is, that idea of contemplating the nature around you. And I like that he brings up a myriad of greens, some shades that seem unwitnessed. Because I will tell you, of all my years of living in areas surrounded by trees and other foliage, it never ceases to amaze me how many different shades that green can come in. It just, you look around and you're just in complete awe that one color could speak so much. So beautiful, right, and very well done.
Great comment, you guys. But I'm going to go a little different. I got to that fourth stanza. The end of it is where I got the idea where I'm going into now. The snowy peaks are not snow at all, but the torn up pages of endless books long forgotten. This is a journey through reading those books, those stories that people no longer bothered looking at or reading, because they can pick up a Kindle, the book on Kindle, or they can have it read to them, audio file. But this comes to the idea of actually enjoying the books. I reach the top and stare at a world of myriad greens, some shades that seem unwitnessed. That idea of what comes within books themselves, the language, the jungles, the deserts, the tundra, the plains. I fly overland as a sunbeam through the day. Clouded sky calls my fire and begs me to stop. And I stand in grass so elegant as to self-illuminate and so soft to rival any jasmine field. The ancient artistry, the thought of actually going over an old book, feeling that leather, and then dipping inside to the how it was inked or how it was presented to the reader, the fractal branches, guardian, gatekeeper, to walk beyond. Beyond the fog, it doesn't matter. It's the books coming to life as one reads and enjoying the thrill of, though you might be in that clogged and overcrowded city that seems so unnatural, in here, you can get lost in the moment. And right now, that field is all there is, and that's all that matters. Nicely done, Dan. Hey, Jane, we're coming up back to you.
Okay, well, just so everybody knows, we have Lulu Wildlove on the line. Hello, Lulu.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Hey,
Lulu.
How
are you? It was great to be back. You guys were all wonderful, you know, stepping in and you know, covering for me while I was gone. I so much appreciate it. You and Pam and everybody under the sun. It was wonderful. You guys are great. Always great. Yeah, Lou, did you hear the last piece that was read?
Is it by Daniel?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, no, I didn't hear it, but I was reading it. I was listening to everybody's wonderful comments, you know, to me, nature has a voice that calls us, you know. I mean, even in the hard concrete asphalt cities, there is beauty in places to be found that are hidden if we just look. You know, I have been, you know, when you go to these big cities, it's for me, it's very surprising how people walk by a flower, some roses, some trees. They don't see it. They don't see it. And, you know, to me, but you hear the old voices, the songs and the leaves as the grass moves, the stems, and, you know, and it puts us in awe. And what I really loved was that stanza where Daniel wrote, until I come to a lone field where a clouded sky calms my fire and begs me to stop. Will you just stop and breathe and just let nature just filter into every cell? And then he said in his last two sentences, and I stand in the grass so elegant as to self-illuminate and so soft to rival any jasmine field. You know, there is beauty to be found in so many things. And it's amazing how our mind travels when we're absorbed in these beautiful areas of nature. I really enjoyed this, and it does self-illuminate. It makes us, I think I heard Pam say that there's an awe that we have where, you know, you just stop breathing from the beauty of it. And it is, nature is a wonderful place to get away from the rat race.
Amen. Amen. I have to agree with you there, girlfriend. Okay. Well, since you got here just in time, Ms. Lulu, I have a piece for you.
Okay.
And if you'd be so kind.
Okay.
This one is called Peppermint Syrup by Lulu Wilder. Look out, guys.
Thank you.
Well, let's come.
I wrote this 2 years ago, probably for a show or a contest. And it's titled Fragrant Syrup. I see finger arrangements, frosted harlequin oak, umber pane squares, cherry red ornamental robin spill, snowflakes tumble and frosty blues, syllables and pagan solstice, jubilees tilting moon rays, beauteous languid dawn, breathless snow bells awakening, scented pine, cinnamon cones, spice wine, armoretto kisses, silvery mist gauze, shades, golden nocturnal grays, desired outcries, mistletoe appetites, weave tinsel through draping hair, imbibes orange, clover, anise aromas, intoxicating ruby wine kisses, hard, sweet, simmering liqueur, and loose, swollen lips in poem.
Great read, Lou. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, why don't you kick us off?
Well, you know, Lou, last time you read this, I said it was a wonderful write. It was sexy, sensual, and seasonal, which is true all the way through. I loved your use of the senses in this, you know, what you see, what you can taste, you know, all the aromas of the spices, you know, all mm-hmm. that comes into play. And that's what's wonderful about it because, you know, it draws you into different directions, you know, that all, you know, round off into the whole of it. And I think it's just beautifully done. Just an excellent job. So,
thank you. And Laurent, how about you?
The first time I read this, I told Lou that that was my kind of Christmas. And reading it again now, I'm picking up on the textures that are in this particular piece. Breathless snowbell awakenings, scented pines, cinnamon cones, spiced blue wine, amaretto kisses, silvery mist gauze, shades golden nocturnal rays, desired outcries, mistletoe appetites. You set the scene so well. I can smell that kind of Christmas from here. And what a Christmas filled with flavorful and lubricated kisses.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, your last stanza is a ripper. Nice work, dear friend.
Thank you, Laurent.
Nice. Thanks a lot. Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is absolutely wonderful. I'm glad you brought this one out again. This is a real celebration of the holidays and of the senses. I really enjoyed and appreciate that you brought in the decorations, the frosted harlequin oak, umber pane squares, cherry red ornamental robin, and then the mention of the spice glue vine and amaretto kisses, silvery mist gauze, shades golden nocturnal rays. I tell you, Lou, I just so badly want to be at your house for Christmas having glue vine and chocolate moon balls. I think that would be absolutely a wonderful Christmas. But yeah, this has a wonderful sensuality to it. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Great comments, everybody. All right, Lou. I got to say, that opening stanza, I like the icy finger arrangement. There's that nice tone to already what you're looking into. Frosted harlequin oak. I like that. Something for the fire. And then umber pane squares. Kind of hints at low lighting as well as something that's streaming outwards too warm and inviting. The syllables in pagan solstice, that had me thinking of Christmas carol. And I, too, enjoyed that breathless snowbell awakening, scented pine, cinnamon cones, spiced blue wine, amaretto kisses, as well as the desired outcries, mistletoe appetites. It gives note to the mood being very joyous and appealing in the moment. Weave tinted through draping hair, imbibed orange, clover, anise aromas, intoxicating ruby wine kisses, The party's getting a little heated up here, especially with that last couple of lines.
Nothing like hot wine on a cold night.
Especially when you got mistletoe hanging in the wrong place.
Yes, lots of kisses.
Warm and welcome. We're coming back to you, Jean.
Imagine that. I was just getting ready to throw something up on the board for a second. Give me 2 seconds. There we go. Okay, the next one I'm going to put up in the room is... Oh,
looks like there's
time.
Enough stock in there to fill many happy flavors.
Anyway, no, there's no link attached to that. But anyway, next one we're going to put up is by Arcana Amor. I have an intro for that. So here we go.
Melt into masses like a silent breeze. No one sees me, knows me, or even cares. They all drift by, lost in their thoughts, as I dwindle in deserts without a glance. Such pain I suffer in innate isolation. The world is a carousel I can't get on, that spins around me with twirling taunts, and ignores these shadows I cast unseen. This loneliness eats away at my soul, to drown midships who sail straight by. Am I simply invisible, seeking reflections? There's no one who listens to hear my words. I scream in secrecy for slight regard, for someone to stop and see my solitude. Then reach out open-armed to allow me in, to feel a part of this remorseless reality. My presence presides in pitiful disguise, hidden away like some rancid remnant that blights their sight in endless plight, to become as one with sad songs unsung. Perhaps existence will show its purpose and embrace my face with recognition, to make me feel much less remote. I can only dream and live in hope.
Great read, Arcana. Thank you for the sound file. It is very much appreciated. All right, Lou, what'd you think?
Well, you know, just listening to his voice, you know, he read at such a slower pace that you could feel each agony and each line just explode with these emotions of how some people feel, and sometimes how other people make you feel as if you're invisible. And, you know, and especially with that last sentence, I mean, this actually kind of brought a little bit of tears to my eyes. You know, perhaps existence will show its purpose and embrace my face with recognition, to make me feel much less remote. I can only dream and live in hope. you know, just to be recognized, for somebody to hold your face and to see your pain. You know, sometimes all it takes is for somebody, not so much that you have to do something, but to give them your time and actually listen and understand what they're going through. This, I mean, congratulations on the silver. This was fantastic, Arcana.
Excellent. Thank you, Lou. Laurent, how about you?
Well, the poem is dark. The music was very noir, which I liked. And the read was excellent. When he writes, "Such pain I suffer in innate isolation," the use of the word innate seems to me to mean that this isolation is within him. It's nothing that anyone else forced upon him, but he almost seeks to make himself invisible. He describes himself as being in a pitiful disguise, I think. He has my presence precise in pitiful disguise, hidden away like some rancid remnant. He's in a deep doo-doo, psychologically and emotionally. And he really makes us feel the loneliness, the unfulfilled hope of being recognized, of being listened to, of being made to feel alive, if you will. He gets his point across really, really well in this great piece.
Excellent. Thank you, Ralph. Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought it was a great piece, and I thought it was a wonderful take on the prompt. you know, I kind of glanced over that quickly because I wasn't familiar again. Even me and song lyrics are never seem to see eye to eye. But it was a wonderful piece, as always, by Arcana, and I think it was a well-expressed emotion throughout. You know, I think that, you know, his audios are always wonderful. Between the background music and the way he expresses his words, it's just always wonderful. So I thank you, Arcana, for sharing with us tonight. And great job, as always. Excellent.
Thank you, Jean. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a beautiful and emotive dark rite. It actually kind of took me back to Darkened Aura's rite and the idea of someone who sees what other people cannot. But in this case, though, it gives the person this feeling of loneliness, this feeling that they see the shadows around, floating around between the lines, the blurred lines. And I like how there is that strong sense of sorrow, that strong sense of loneliness within the crowd. I scream in secrecy for slight regard for someone to stop and see my solitude. People can be so painfully unaware of other people's hurt. This is beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comments, everybody. I'm going to take all of your thoughts and offer up just one little extra. There's a movie, a play that works with this, especially beginning and ending. I'm going to walk this as the Phantom of the Opera, the one who sings and only sings to himself because life has nothing. Nothing is offered to him. He's always alone, always with himself. And that's what this kind of walks in, that very same language. Such pain I suffer in innate isolation. The loneliness eats away at my soul. I scream in secrecy with slight regard. My presence presides in pitiful disguise. This is definitely someone who walks in other worlds, darkness. And the music in the background held a nice note to that, too. Well done, Arcana. All right, Jane, we're back to you.
Okay, then the next one I have to put up is by Weaver of Dreams. And I have an audio for that one. So, here we go.
I came from water, and to water I will return. I can no longer stay with you on this earth. My feet have been lacerated by gravel and grit. My skin is becoming thin, dry, and wrinkled. When I first saw you on your boat in the sunlight, I felt a pull of desire so very new to me then. I thought life without you would be untenable. Now I know there is a loss that is much worse. The sea calls me, Joseph. My family misses me. I cannot live in your world, nor can you in mine. Our love will be the death of us both ere long. The choice must be made, and soon, for see, the hunter's moon beckons me to swim along the illuminated path of silver back to my home.
Great read, Weaver. Thank you very much at SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Pam, you got kicks first.
All right. Well, I thought this was beautifully written. It's a wonderful story poem, and it's, you know, a great story about the idea of a creation, a creature of the sea that's pulled back to her home and away from the embrace of love. And one of the things I particularly like about this is, and in my humble opinion, is that it perfectly balances itself between the Disney idea of the Little Mermaid and the original The Little Mermaid. Because the original one by Hans Christian Andersen, she doesn't get the kiss, she dies, she turns into foam. And the Disney one, you know, it all, as all Disney movies at most anyways, and, you know, with the happily ever after. This is the what happens afterwards. Yes, this mermaid, this siren, this creature of the sea found her true love, and but found that the pull back to her home and her family was both emotionally and physically destroying her. So really just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Lou, how about you?
You know, I really so much enjoy reading and hearing Weaver poetry. I love the way that she story tells. And going along with, you know, Pam's answer, comment, you know, some home always calls us. It always calls us. And at times, you know, like the storytelling, which it also made me think of the mermaid. You know, there's so many different tales about these, you know, the mermaids and the stories. And, you know, I thought that she did this so beautifully in this brevity. And I really liked where she says, you know, she tells Joseph that the sea is calling her. And she says, I can't live in your world, nor can you in mine. Our love will be the death of us both ere long. So I just, you know, that point where you, whether in fairy tale or in Disney movies or in real life, sometimes we cannot live with the person that we love the most.
Thank you, Lou. Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought it was a great write by Weaver. I love how she told the tale. The fact it was a brevity. The imagery was wonderful. I just think that it was a great package. You know, it was well described. The imagery was great. Like, the whole thing is just a great little, it's a gem. You know, the tale is told, and it's well done. So I want to thank you, Weaver, for sharing with us tonight. And, appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, how about you?
I think it's been said that the sea is a jealous mistress. And it is. It has such a pull over people who have experienced life on this sea for any length of time. And, of course, if you're a mermaid, it's even worse. When I read this, I too thought of the Little Mermaid. But this is the real story, like Pam said. This is what happens afterwards. And back to the ocean she goes. Beautifully done. Short, but fascinating.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. I agree with everyone. I got to go with This is the, well, Pam hit it up, but I'll go with the splash without the happy ending, where he actually gets to join her because she gives him the power of being able to live and breathe on the water as long as they're attached. And but this way, this is just a sad realization that that doesn't ever happen. She needs to be where she is, as he does him. Nicely done, Kate. Thank you very much. All right, Jane, we're coming back up to you.
Okie doke. Well, Laurent, I have the next piece up for you to read. And whenever you're ready.
Okie dokie. Excuse me. Where is that devil? Oh, I know this one. This is called Silence of the Deep Blue. The soul pulls at its moorings, a boat straining to catch the tide, wooden hull creaking with a surging of emotions swell, impulse governed by gravity's stellar interplay. Moonlight dances on the water, a broad mirror to the universe. My sails are full, drawing me out onto a vast grassless plain. Bow cleaves the waves, arrowing towards dark horizons. Pale light licks at the night, a moderate glow brightening faithfully into morning, a ritual lifting of the spirit. Last voyage, a seductive return to wanderlust and the treasure of discovery. An indrawn breath at nature's unexpected tendrils. Salt sea stings in the wind, peppering a face turned to the spray, alive in the moment of blood pounding to imperial rhythms of life. Doxology of self unarticulated, final resolution not found wanting. Iron bell strikes the hour for the changing of the watch, signals a return to an age of fishes and forest, marked creep of green at the edges, atavistic silence of the deep blue. End poem.
Great read alone. Thank you very much. Gene, why don't you kick it off?
Myself here first. A wonderful piece, Laurent, as always. Beautifully written and well expressed throughout. You know, I love the reference to the sea. You know, the water, the finality of that in your piece. But it was beautifully written and very, very well expressed. I have to say, you know, signal to return to an age of fishes and forests, marked creep of green at the edges, atavistic silence in the deep blue. This has a wonderful feel to it at the end there, and I think it was a wonderful way to end it off. It's a nice work.
Thank you, Gene.
Thank you, Gene. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is beautiful. I really enjoy and appreciate how it takes a look at life and death and the desire, the wanderlust to travel, especially upon the waters. And I think, you know, the waters are such a wonderful representation of birth, of life, and then floating off into the heavens. I really like the line, impulse governed by gravity, stellar interplay, moonlight dances on the waters, a broad mirror to the universe. There's this whole idea, this thought to me, that brings the thought of, you know, the idea of having one, your feet on the ground and your head in the clouds, and there's this kind of pull between wanting to be living that dream of traveling, but at the same time knowing that there are certain things that keep you still on earth. I really also like last voyage and seductive return to wanderlust and the treasure of discovery, an indrawn breath at nature's unexpected tangents. I think nature's unexpected tangents is such an important line because it reminds us that while nature is beautiful, she is also powerful and at times very angry. So excellent right here, Lawrence, and very well done.
Thanks, Pam.
Well said, Pam. And Lou, how about you?
You know, I really enjoyed this poem, Narat. Your deep voice just pulls us into each stanza, and we start drawing and painting those images in our mind, and also that wailing desire that, you know, that to see, you know, anything that we do that is, like, you know, Pam brought Mother Nature, anything that we do, we risk our lives, whether we're on a motorcycle, whether we're on a boat, just, you know, climbing mountains, you know, that pull of nature just to go out there and it just to feel like the salted breezes moving in the water. I loved your ending stanza because I could just see the sea force swaying back and forth. I thought that was beautiful, but my favorite stanza was this one where you said, and I heard you reading, salt sea stings in the wind, peppering a face turned to the spray. You could just literally see that, and I could feel it. Alive in the moment of blood pounding to ethereal rhythms of life, just to feel that momentum, to be into nature, to be surrounded by the thing that we love the most. Fantastic poem, Laurent. I really enjoyed this.
Thanks, Lou.
Well said, everybody. Laurent, those first three stanzas had me thinking of almost an out-of-body experience, but then I thought, nah, this walks kind of like on that note of a near-death angle, especially when you get a little deeper into this, a ritual lifting of the spirit. And then you hit on doxology of selfhood articulated. Doxology angle had me intrigued. That thought through, thank God I'm alive in the moment. Final resolution not found wanting. Iron bell strikes the hour for the changing of the watch. There's that note of coming back almost from the precipice to actually awake and feel good in the moment. Signals a return to an age of fish so far. The last stanza kind of walks me in that note of if you do have to go, then that might be that nice angle of from whence we came, the ocean angle. When we crawled out of the depths of the ocean to walk on land, so to speak, that might not be a bad place to revisit and try it once more.
Nicely put. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, Jane, we're back at you.
Well, yes, we are, kind of. I wanted to let you all know that Gray Eyes has joined us. Hey, Gray Eyes. Welcome to
hey,
Gray.
Hi, Phil. Hey, Gray. Hi, Lou. Hi, Pam, Lawrence, Rex. Hey. Anybody else?
Did you happen to hear Lawrence's poem, Frank?
I did, yeah. You know, it's a powerful poem, well read and beautifully expressed. I really like, you know, the intonation of living life for the moment and carrying on forward through that moment into time. And, you know, I really like the reference to the sea, you know, all the first stanza that spoke of the sea and, you know, how much that is an effect on our lives. Just a beautiful poem, Mark.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, for my next magic trick, I'm going to put up a poem by Naomi Thera. Now, the magic of this is nobody's here, but I'm putting up all these poems, and they're reading them. Anyway. Okay, this is Naomi's piece, and it is called Cracks, Coffee Mug, Old Book, and Well the Hell with the Cherry by Naomi Thera. Here goes.
Cracks, Coffee Mug, Old Book, and well, the hell with the cherries. To survive through yet one of your Mondays, you taste the first sip of bitter coffee, like the first warm after a winter storm, and release a held breath. I watch as your hands gently hold the mug, one fingertip circling the porcelain rim, as if thankfully caressing it, for giving you courage to affront another chilled, rainy, autumnal dawn. Now, I often do wonder how such moments can easily gate crash into my sober flow of thoughts, like a swirl of indigo vertigo splattered through my brain. But in that instant watching you, I wished I was that coffee mug. Perhaps I accidentally swallowed a pile of novels whose contents were only romance as a child, or sniffed too many dried rose petals pressed between their musky pages. Go figure. Well, anyway, if I was your one and only coffee mug, I would be the first to feel your morning kiss. I'd always be at your side, your divine liquid infinity. 'Cause, well, you do drink tons and tons of coffee. I'd feel loved, embraced, and wanted by you all day. Even in the soft yellow light by your bedside, where you'd linger with me lost in your thoughts, or a beautiful book, okay, let's not go there. I could hold brews from lands far away, dark, robust, velvety, making you moan in delight. And then when I got old and cracked, you could glue me together, creating an artwork, a grand tableau inspired by Tchaikovsky. Swan Lake would be the best, 'cause it would be a tragedy indeed. Imagine me all smashed up into pieces. I'd want parts of a Starry Night mixed in, so I'd always make you dream. And a piece of Mona Lisa's smile, of course. I always have to keep you wondering what I'm really thinking, dear. And besides, you once said you'd figure me out if you studied me long enough. And since that mission aborted, like only a few short months later into our relationship, well, hey, hon, I'm giving you another chance. And after all, a girl can only hope to keep a guy intrigued, if only just a little, even after she's gone.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you for the sound crowd. It's very much appreciated. And Gray, you're the last one in, so the first one up.
I thought it was beautifully read, and I really like the sentiment expressed in it, you know, where she's just, she feels like she's wants to be his coffee mug broken into 1,000 pieces, and, you know, always keeping him wondering and what she's really thinking. I really liked it. Very well done.
Thank you, Gray. Lou, how about you?
Well, you know, I really enjoy listening to her reader poems. You know, and, you know, this is sometimes how relationships move. I mean, she's over there. It's only been a couple of months, and he's hugging that coffee cup and wishing that it was her instead. And I really liked how she became the coffee mug, craving for his attention, his spices. Let's try something different. Let's try something new so that, you know, maybe you'll pay a little bit more attention to me, because you sure pay a lot of attention to that cracked old coffee cup and that coffee pot. So it was thoroughly enjoyable.
Thank you, Lou. And Laurent, how about you?
I like the familiar touchstones that were used in this piece. I'd want parts of a Starry Night mixed in, so it would always make you dream. and a piece of Mona Lisa's smile, of course. I always have to keep you wondering what I'm really thinking, dear. And the intrigue that is postulated by Naomi at the end of this, where is it? And after all, a girl can only hope to keep a guy intrigued, if only just a little, even after she's gone. What has she done to keep him intrigued? Is it physical? Is it emotional? Or a combination of the both? I, too, enjoyed the being the coffee mug, to feel your morning kiss. I'd always be at your side, your divine liquid infinity. Struck me as being particularly well phrased. I love the way she read this, and I love the whole thing from top to bottom. It's really, really well done. She took her time, kept it interesting, not too difficult, but very deep nonetheless, and really gives one pause. And besides, you once said you'd figure me out if you studied me long enough. And that was all also well. And that whole stanza there, the mission aborted, was nicely done.
Excellent. Thank you, Ralph. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, it was good to hear this one again. I really enjoyed it. It's a great take on the prompt. I like how it's raw, it's gritty and edgy, and has a wonderful kind of dark, twisted humor to it. And takes a look at the idea of a woman who realizes that the coffee cup gets more attention than she does. And, you know, and decides at the end that enough is enough. But in between, there's this dreamlike quality to it. I really like, I could hold booze from lands far away, dark, robust, velvety, making you moan in delight. And then I also really liked where she says, and besides, you once said you'd figure me out if you studied me long enough. And since that mission aborted, like only a few short months later into our relationship, well, hun, I'm giving you another chance. You know, it's that whole idea of like that look at realizing that you aren't first place and you've given way to the importance of material objects. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought this was wonderful. And I'm so glad Pam said when she first read this because I swore I had heard this before. But I did not see my name on the comments. I'm going, God, this sounds so familiar. I think she did an excellent job with it. I love how she, you know, her wording throughout about the coffee mug was perfect. And I remember thinking that the first time, how well she had put all that together. And she just had this real, I don't know the right word for it, the tone of her voice throughout the whole thing. It's a little, I don't want to use flippant, but, you know, it had that, like, saucy kind of, you know, and yeah, and this. You know, she just kept going, and she carried that throughout the whole thing wonderfully. And I thought it was just a beautiful job. So great job, Naomi, and very well expressed piece. Nice work.
Great comments, everybody. Did you notice her tone? It was matter of fact. There was hints of bitterness in it, plus a heavy hand to irony, and notes of sarcasm as well, with a touch of humor as a boot. So. Nicely done, Naomi. Thank you. And Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okay. Let's see. The next piece I have up is for Gray Eyes. So, Gray, if you'd be so kind. Good night, Laura.
This is by Gray Eyes Smith, and it's called Lapping Lips. And it's based on prompt 17 from the contest for the Art of Seduction, 7/29/2021. And it says... the quote goes, like waves brushing their open arms against shore to clutch the sand. And here goes my right. Lapping licks spread waters of desire upon the curves of your thirsty shoreline, flooding the inlets of your midnight wishes. Frothy waves form as the passion of your simmering landscape melt into the pounding weight of my unbridled rawness. You are at the bottom of my heart as I drink you in, one lapping lick at a time. End quote.
Great read, great. Thank you very much. All right, Lou, what you got?
You would put me on the spot, wouldn't you, Rexy? Okay, this is very sensual. I loved how you incorporated the water into your poem. I mean, there, like right here where it says, right, like this is really sexy. Frothy waves form at the passion of your shimmering landscape, melt into the pounding weight of my unbridled rawness. So, of course, everybody's thoughts go in different directions. So back to you, Rexy.
He's very red right now, aren't they?
Oh man,
wow.
My face is red.
I can't believe Lou's at a loss for words. Now I've heard everything. sorry, Lou, I couldn't resist the tease. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you got?
Oh, this is a wonderful sensual brevity. I did like the use of fluid motion in here, and of course the lapping licks spread waters of desire upon the curves. I like the alliteration, especially in flooding the inlets of your midnight wishes, frothy waves form as the passion of your shimmering landscape melt into the pounding weight. Wonderful lines there, Gray. Beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Ben.
And Jean, how about you?
Well, Gray, I thought that this was excellent. It was very sensual, very seductive. I love the metaphor you chose. And I'm like, Pam, I'm not going to go on the frothy side of things. Ah, good amazing. But no, this was absolutely, it was beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. I don't know who started Seduction Contest that was, but I'm going to take a peek. Oh.
It was mine.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like Pam Ray's. That's the kind of girl. That's why she went to the frothy part. Anyway, I'm just messing. I get out myself. I'm just being big. But Gray, it was a great piece, and I really enjoyed it. And thank you for sharing with us again. Much enjoyed.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, speaking of frothy, I got to ask, what is she covered in? Cappuccino, pina colada, or both?
Pina colada.
Oh, yes. Got to get into that sweet pineapple. Talk about getting fired up all the way around.
Even Robbie says he's not going to look at the spot, and his spot is up the same for the next 2 days. See? And Frank put up a request for you, Pam. Just saying.
Yeah, I only take that request on Wednesday night. Sorry.
Well, you just had to touch a Wednesday. Okay. Sorry, I'll be quiet.
Oh, yeah. Just make sure you're don't wipe it off your mustache. It's got to linger for a little while.
Right.
Oh, my.
At that point in time, it's called a flavor saver.
Mm-hmm.
God.
I don't know. We went from Friday to Wednesday, and we're definitely on the after midnight side of things now. Oh, man.
All right. Speaking of that, though, where do you want to go next? I think we've dipped into quite a bit so far.
I think the next one I have is for Pam Ray.
Yes. All right. This is the red sun rising over knuckles of ash, and it goes like this. I believe in themes of nothingness, naked limbs drenching chopping blocks with will-o-wisp blood. I have no bell to offer freedom from the mausoleum of dead prophets. Dark worms weave their way through corridors dug by hands of broken flesh. I struggle to catch the breath of the red sun rising. I am knocking on splintered doors, my knuckles becoming ash. The gargoyles of Moira spread their wings in opiate prayers. I hear them as I swallow the key to a kingdom lost in bravado, teeth gnashing against ancient stone carved with symbols, freeing the mind from laced collars. Death wears faded jeans, plays the fiddle, sings a tune buried beneath the bones. We all dance to misunderstood lyrics, a cloud of cranes floating in a shaman's sky, layers of graphite, the cold chill and silent concave of missing echoes. End poem.
Great response. Thank you very much. All right, Lou, I heard you giggling. What do you think?
You know, this reminded me so much if I was reading something almost written in a scroll during the times of Atlantis, you know, the Greeks and the beliefs and everything about how death sometimes would come and how we would just suffer to the end. You know, just like I have no bell to offer freedom from the mausoleum of dead prophets. Sometimes we just go through, like she says here, where she said scraping of, where was it? The knuckles of ash. I believe in the themes of nothingness and, you know, how we can go through life like this, whether she meant it like that or not, but it just had that old ancient feeling to it where it says we all dance to misunderstood lyrics, a cloud of cranes floating in a shaman's sky. There's a lot of history and echoes that you wrote here from the past. I really like this, Pam. Fantastic.
Thank you.
And Gray, how about you?
You did a beautiful job reading that, Pam. But I liked it. You know, it really makes you think about life and the way we live it and living in the moment and, you know, not trying to put our own fate into death and death just happens. So in the cold chill, in the silent concave of missing echoes, just a beautiful poem, Pam. I really liked your
thank
title
you.
As well.
Well, thank you
absolutely.
Very much.
All right, Jean, we're on to you.
Well, that was just great timing. I'll tell you what. I'm going to leave my comment in writing, and I'm going to put up the last piece for tonight, which is by Poetic Picasso, and it's called, oh, I don't know. He's got it abbreviated somehow, so I can't lie. So let me put on the audio.
The midnight rendezvous in Havana makes us sweat in the humidity. The beach is our exotic escape into the waves of our erotic passion. The restless sound of the ocean is the rumba of our nocturnal desires. We dance to the sensual beat of the rhythm of its slow seduction. My whispers are the winds of the island's lustful longing, serenading me with the sweet words of my Spanish voice, and your sensitive soul shivers within a profound rapture, begging to be engulfed in the romance. form of my typhoon. Your body is drenched in the wetness of a surging surf, and our tempting tongues speak the language of love. Be the lover that seduces me, be the sexiness of your spell, as we dip into the rolling tide of our tantric kiss. Explored. We are the incarnation of the plunging phantoms of the ocean, released from their carnal flesh, like two ardent spirits revived, penetrating the crescendo of the tides, submerging us together, where our mystical moans resound throughout the night of Havana. Bésame. Bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche, la última vez. Bésame, bésame mucho. Kiss me all over, as if this night was the last time. Kiss me all over, my wild dove.
Great read, Frank. Thank you for the tarot. It is more.
Independent.
Great read, Frank. Thank you very much for the tarot. It's very much appreciated. And my wild dove, Luyu, seems you're in this one.
Yeah. Okay. This, I don't know if you guys... You put me on. This is the second time you've embarrassed me tonight, Rexy.
I didn't know this was here. I never do the pieces before they go live.
This is just so rich in detail. You know, there's something about listening to Spanish music. There is this slow move that the bodies are just so tight that you can't even slip a piece of tissue paper through there, and your body moves in the rhythm and the sound of the voice and the singing, and you're actually making love on the floor. And when you get that kiss when you're dancing like this, where he talks about my whispers are the winds of an island's lustful longing, serenading with the sweet words of my Spanish voice. When they're singing those, these beautiful love songs and these lyrics in your ears while you're dancing, it just puts you in a trance. You don't see anybody else. You get lost in all the surroundings. And then, how could you not be enchanted when somebody is singing, Bésame, bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche. La última vez, bésame, bésame mucho, that yearning, that craving, that you've got to have that last kiss. Fantastic poem, beautifully written. It's just gorgeous.
Perfectamente. Nice adding that touch with your voice there, Lou. It rung on some hard notes there. Thank you. Jean, how about you? Are you mutating? Okay. Pam, how about you?
Yes, I was. I thought it was an excellent job by Frank. Another super sensual work, well written, well read, really well expressed. And I don't know. If I were you, Lou, I'd have to take this up with Rex afterwards, because I think that's like three times. But less of you than me. Yes. Anyway, great job, Frank. Wonderful job. And, great read.
Thank you, Jean. Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you did a wonderful job reading it, Frank, and the poem is deeply engaging. You know, it's endearing, and it's romantic and exotic, erotic. I really like where you went with the opening. A midnight rendezvous in Havana makes us sweat in the humidity. The beach is our exotic escape into the waves of our erotic passion. The restless sound of the ocean is the rumba of our nocturnal desires. We dance to the sensual beat of the rhythm of its slow seduction. Yeah, you paint a beautiful picture there. Excellent write, excellent read, Frank.
Nice, great, thank you. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a beautiful sensual write. I love the use of imagery and the use of motion, the dancing and the flow of the water. It's beautiful all the way through, but I particularly am drawn to the stanza that starts with, "We are the incarnations of the plunging phantoms of the ocean, released from their carnal flesh like two ardent spirits revived." Wonderful lines there, beautifully written and very well done.
Great comments, everybody. Greg, I agree with you. That opening stanza was nice, really well done. And then the tail going into that, the second or third stanza, but that fourth one, the finishing notes, the tide submerging us together, where our mystical moans resound throughout the night of Havana. Ah, a screaming melee. Nicely done, especially when you finish out with, as Luyu alludes to, besame mucho, como si fuera esta noche. La última vez, besame mucho. Nicely done,
ooh,
Frank.
Ooh, Rexy.
Oh, I could do a little bit here and there.
Who knew?
And Jean, we're coming back to you. But you got to unmute it again.
I said I have one more left. Well, not one more left, but do you think we can fit one more in? Because I can.
We got
one
3 minutes. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. This is called Throne of the Hollow by Robert M. Here we go.
Ooh.
Oh, well, I guess I have to hit the button. Oh. Okay, here we go.
This is Throne of the Hollow. In me, darkness is deeply seated, nurtured by notions self-defeated. Tears often watered the fetid soil, fueled by regrets and turmoil. Struggles ensued over self-worth, tilling the baleful, morbid earth. The pieces of me that fell in decay seemed to nourish the seed of dismay. Over time there stood an ominous tree, composed of all of the dark in me. It twisted and warped as it grew, brandishing leaves of the darkest hue. My throne raised to the darkening sky as the rest of me slowly continued to die. The corpse-like king now makes his reign from the shadowing pillar of disdain. This malevolent and relentless despair have me rooted to this writer's chair.
Great read, Robert. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Jean, what you think?
Well, I think it is another wonderful piece by Robert. You know, I remember from way back this one here. I thought it was incredible, right? And I thought his emotions were well conveyed, as always. Just a great piece and much enjoyed. So I want to thank you, Robert, for sharing with us. Great piece.
Thank you, Jean. Pam?
Pam dropped. Lou dropped. It's you, me, and Greg.
Ah, great.
Yeah, you know, he did a brilliant read on the poem itself, but, you know, the poem's deep, it's dark, it's melancholic. It's everything that darkness is, and he captured that quite beautifully in his poem, so very well done.
Thank you, Greg. I agree with you. The middle of that is where it kind of takes a nice turn. Over time, there stood an ominous tree composed of all the dark and mean. It twisted and walked as it grew, brandishing leaves of the darkest hue. There's a nice touch of Poe that walks within this.
which kind of sings to itself. Nicely done, Robert. Thank you. All right, Jean, back to you for closing.
Well, that's about it for tonight. I want to thank you guys for calling in. Gray, Lou, Pam, help me out, Rex. I'm going to lost. Oh, Laurent, Rex, as always, thank you for co-hosting with me. It's always a pleasure. And it's great to be back, everybody. Yep, yep. And, yeah, I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend and, you know, a great week next week. And until Sunday, I won't see you guys. So have a wonderful weekend. I don't know. Is there anything I'm forgetting there, Rex? My sign up. Tomorrow night, tonight is Parts Inner, Parts Saint after us at 12:30, followed by the Exploring a Crisis, which is tomorrow night with Captain B2 and Dan Tashino. No, I'm wrong. It's Gray tomorrow night, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
Gray, why are you letting me do it? I should have stepped on my toe and come
to yeah,
be wonderful. I missed tomorrow night with bad company. Come on, tell us all about it, Gray.
tonight is tomorrow's show is the carryover of Lou Yu's show from Monday.
Awesome. Okay, well that works. I'm sure it was a good show on Monday, and I'm sure it's going to be a great show tomorrow. And after that we have The Solace of Shadows with Robert M. So everyone, give a holler, call in, listen, be around, hang on the board. Always happy for company. Anyway, thanks, everybody, and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Take care.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night, Rick.
Thank you. Good night, Rick.
Good night,
hon.